So it says in the bulletin, we're at Genesis 7. We must do what the bulletin says. Genesis chapter 7. Verses 1 through 6. Going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to have two sermons in one. So, much to everybody's relief, I will not keep you here for 2 hours. Mine as well. But I've never kind of done something like this, but I think you'll understand why. Genesis chapter 7, at verse 1, Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. It's in a category all by itself. Lord, it's your word. It's the word of God. Not of the genius of man, but of the wisdom of God. So we have nothing to compare it to, Lord. It is incomparable. We thank you that we can have it, read it on our own anytime, study it, look at it together, think about it, memorize it. Thank you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives as a church family. Lord, the good things, and then there are those who have difficulties. Lord, some serious things, Jeff Williams, Rosie Cooley, Joy Dixon, and others too. Lord, for your grace, for your mercies, for your goodness, for healing, for whatever is needed, for good, and for the glory of your name. Lord, we pray for those over us in authority. We pray for your wisdom to them. We pray that they may truly find that their need of Jesus Christ is more than ever. And Lord, that you would guide our country as you would. Let your will be done. Lord, we pray for your word as it goes out around the world. Lord, you're touching many people's hearts in many lands, in places that are totally a surprise to us. So Lord, thank you. How powerful your word is by your Spirit. Lord, we pray there's so much going on in our world. For those who are fleeing for the safeties of their lives, refugees, more and more, all over. Lord, for those who belong to you, for your help to them, safety, strength, whatever they need. For those who don't, can they be directed to places where they will hear the gospel, and we thank you. There are places like, there are organizations like Samaritan's Purse. They're helping people physically with real needs and also at the same time telling of the love of Jesus. So Lord, we pray for them. And for those in countries that are being punished because they are believers in Christ, Lord, give them your presence, please. We pray for them as if we were in bonds with them, as your word says, for your mercy. Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to be together. Pray your goodness upon us by your Spirit. Lord, for our eternal good, for your glory. It's your work, Lord. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Speak to me. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6, chapter 7. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. Chapter 5, verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then, as we saw last week, you can read it through in the middle, how God gave both his plan and his heart to Noah concerning the incredible wickedness of man, and that God was going to wipe it clean except for those who would be on the ark, both human beings and animal and bird life of all kinds. Noah was 500 years old. The floodwaters came. Noah was 600 years old. So many scholars believe that there is a 100-year time frame within those. 100 years. 100 years of working on the ark. Now, we already know from Genesis, earlier than this, that there were those who were working with metals. So, you know, he was given quite a large job to do, the ark, quite large. We'll look more into that, Lord willing, in the future, but 100 years to do it. Perseverance is the title of a book by Dr. Eugene Peterson, and he describes perseverance as a long obedience in the same direction. 100 years. Perseverance. I probably won't get to be 100 years old, but obviously people lived long times back then, but 100 years. Perseverance. So imagine a society where everything is bad. I mean, it's not just immoral and evil, and you can look in Leviticus chapter 18 if you want to read a list of what was happening in the countries of the promised land where God said, you're not going to be like those people because it's incredible, the immorality. But not just immorality, as we've seen last week, God uses the word violence as well. So imagine in a town, in a city, in a state, in a nation, in a country, all over, immorality of all kinds and violence at the same time. I mean, it's just bad. Very bad. Everyone. And then you get a message from God. And God shares his heart with you and says, basically, in essence, it's all going down. All of it. But here's what I want you to do. And it's build an ark. Now, God doesn't say this is happening next week. Though it doesn't. It doesn't happen next week. It doesn't happen next month, next year. It's 100 years later. Who knows? Maybe it took him 100 years to finish the ark. When the ark was done, we don't know which came first. The ark or the flood? Obviously the ark. But it could have been in the 100 years, God going, oh, ark's done, 100 years, time for the next step in this, the flood. 100 years. So what do? Well, you obey. Because you're certain this is, you know, God has spoken. You obey. And then you tell. You tell. And that's why you don't have to turn there. Just look at your bulletin. Look at the reading that was given for us from the bulletin out of 2 Peter. Because you heard it, but you might have just didn't hear it, because if God did not spare the ancient world, but Noah, and then it describes Noah. And it doesn't say he's a master builder. It doesn't say he was a great carpenter. A great administrator, organizer. What does it call Noah? It's in your bulletin. What does it call Noah? A preacher of righteousness. So there's Noah. So what do? You obey, and then you tell. And that's what Noah was. What was Noah's message? And there weren't Bibles back then. What was Noah's message? There is a God. We've all done wrong and sinned against him. Because of all that, it's all going down. But there's a place of safety, a place of rescue. There's a lot of space on the ark, a lot. But there's a place of safety and rescue. The message of Noah. A preacher, it says, of righteousness. And so I believe, according to Scripture, that's what he was doing. What do you think is the response to Noah's message? Ah, what's he doing? Whatever it is, it's big. What's he saying? Lunatic. I had kook in mind, but I will take the word lunatic, Jacob. Good. It's ridicule. It's sarcasm. What is the old lunatic up to now? It's unbelief in 1,000 different shades. It's what Jesus faced. When you can't answer the arguments of the messenger, you attack the messenger. By the way, don't see Noah. It's passed through the theaters. Save yourself from it on Netflix. If you want a good introduction to the Kabbalah, which is a Jewish mystic spiritualist work, get into Noah. There's more of the Kabbalah in Noah than there is of the Bible. And that is accurate. The imagery, it's all there. Anyways, what's the old lunatic up to now? It came to the point, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, it came to the point where people just simply did not pay attention anymore. Jesus put it in Matthew 24, and it's in Luke, whatever. And the people, and they did not know until the very day Noah entered the ark. It says, and they, people were buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage. It's like, we have all future. You know, everything's just going to go on, fine and dandy, honky-dory, you name it, pleasant. And the people did not know. So it's like they just, at some point, just simply, by and large, had just tuned it out. Well, she smiled, so I had to wave to her. They just tuned it out. And the people did not know. Or you might have a translation, did not understand. I think they just did not pay attention anymore. So what do we do? This is sermon number one, by the way. To follow in the footsteps of Noah. What are we doing? Why is it even pertinent to us now? It is. Obey the word in our personal lives as a church. You know, Acts chapter 2 says what the early Christians did, not just for themselves, well, for themselves, but together. So we continue to obey the Lord in our personal lives. We continue from Acts chapter 2 to gather together. That's what they did, to learn the word of God, to worship, to encourage, to pray, to share, all out of Acts chapter 2. So we run what we run. We have Sunday school for all ages, 2 adult classes. And we have church services, and God has allowed us to minister to those beyond through Awana, to children and families, and we continue with that. We just obey the word and however, and then we share. We speak. We tell. We can witness. Whatever form that takes. We share, as Noah did. Obey, tell. Why? Number one, because people need Jesus Christ. They need him. Number two, because everything's going down. You know, for individual lives, it goes down on the last breath you take. That's when it all goes down. We don't have to wait till the end of the world. But as far as God's timetable for the things at large, sooner or later, Scripture is consistently clear. At some point, it all goes down. It won't be with a flood, but it's all going down. So people need Christ, and everything's going down. And God will not be mocked. For a man and a nation reaps what it sows. So we go with that. Everything's going down, and people need Christ. I'll come to that later. So, second sermon. And why am I bringing this up? Because what's been going on, I don't know if you're aware, but we are coming into one packed September. It's just packed. And it's like the convergence of so many different things that are happening. You can look online and find it, but you'll find different type of lists. We already went through September 1, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Association. For some reason, September is National Preparedness Month. Okay, they do that every year. September 11th. The 14th anniversary, 7 plus 7, of 9/11. You know, it was 3 years ago on 9/11, the year 2012, that the compound in Benghazi was attacked. Because 9/11, get after the Americans. We're coming up to the 14th anniversary of 9/11. September 11th, also the last day of trading on Wall Street before the end of, for those of you who know it, I'll use a word, it's a Hebrew word, even though the book's been written, it's the Shemitah year. I'll get back to that. September 11th, the last day, to explain a little bit more of that. September 12th, Madonna, right, Madonna, is supposedly starting a Rebel Heart tour. First stop, supposedly, is Washington, D.C., and according to one person who's serious about these things, the opening theme for her tour is the desecration of the bride and the arrival of fallen angels. Thank you, Madonna. Put that into music. September 12th and September 13th, a rabbi, Chaim Kavnatsky, a leading authority in ultra-Orthodox Judaism, has indicated publicly that the Messiah the Jewish people are expecting could come around this time. I don't know why in September, 12th or 13th. September 13th, okay, here we go. The last day of, I'll say it one more time, the Shemitah year. What's that? Some of you know. Leviticus chapter 25. We have a Sabbath day. We have a day of rest, one of seven. We worship together on Sundays because as the new believers did, first day of the week. One in seven, Sabbath. God instituted in Leviticus 25 a rest for the land, an entire year for the land. Once every 7 years, a Sabbath rest for the land itself. And September 13th is the, we are in that year right now. September 13th is the last day of that, a Sabbath rest from the land. And also, not just from the land, I read it through again, Leviticus 25. You can find it there and read it for yourself. For work as well. Not just to rest the land, but for people to rest from work. And it was to be a blessing from God because he would give so much the year before for 3 years that they wouldn't have to worry about working. For an entire year, once every 7 years. And all the people said, hey, sounds good to me. Work stops. And also when you look in Deuteronomy chapter 15, there's also the forgiveness of debts that is tied into this as well too. So it's like land rests, work rests, so people get to rest, and debts are forgiven. Now, that's that simple. But during the last two cycles of rest, we have witnessed some interesting things on the stock market. September Monday, the 17th, 2001, which was the final day. David, where was that welcome to Newcastle Church? Can you get back to that one? Where was that? It's in there somewhere. One of the first slides you had up at the start this morning. This is improvised, folks. Not that one, it was a colorful one. Why did you have 22 Elul, 215? Elul is the final month of the Jewish calendar, and it's the final month of their year, in their calendar year. And Elul 29 is the final day of their calendar year, kind of like December 31st to us. But the Jewish calendar does not follow exactly our calendars. So on Monday, September 17th, 2001, the final day, Elul 29, we witnessed the greatest one-day stock market crash in United States history, period. Bigger than the Dirty 30s and the Great Depression. The Dow plunged 684 points in one day. Now, exactly according to the Hebrew calendar, 7 years later, in 2008, on September 29th, a different day in September for us, but the 29th of the final month in the Hebrew calendar, also a Monday, the Dow broke its own record and plummeted 777.69 points in one day. And at the final second of that day of trading, stopped right there, which was also 7%. It was the single greatest stock market crash ever. Both times, exactly according to the Hebrew calendar, exactly 7 years apart to the day on our stock market. We are now coming to September 13th, which is a Sunday, and the stock market won't be open, but it will September 11th, 9/11, and it will September 14th. So, September 13th. Also, there's a partial solar eclipse on September 13th. And it's interesting to note that September 13th is also a major Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. And what's interesting is that when there's been a partial solar eclipse on a major Jewish holiday in times past, there have been some interesting things, especially in a year of rest year, the seventh year rest. In 1931, there was a solar eclipse on the final day, and 8 days later, England, for the first time in history ever, 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 abandoned the gold standard for its currency. And that just put shockwaves through the system, setting off a market crash and bank failures around the world. In 1987, a solar eclipse on September 23rd, again the very end, and less than 30 days later, what is known in the stock market as Black Monday happened, less than a month later. The greatest percentage crash in Wall Street history. By the way, if you look at the stock market, since August 18th until September the 4th, the Dow Jones, the leading indicator, has gone down 1,409 points in about a half a month's time. Now, on one Monday, it went down 1,000 points, but it also bounded back up. So it didn't go down, but it's gone down in less than half a month, 1,409 points in 13 working days, stock market. September 14th, I said it was Rosh Hashanah. Many scholars believe that on the Jewish calendar, at the end of 7 times 7 years, which is how many? There is in Scripture, Leviticus 25, the 50th year, Jubilee. A year of Jubilee that God intended as a blessing, but when it's not, it's bad. It's bad. So many scholars believe that this September 14th is the start of the Jubilee year. By the way, September 14th, the first day of trading on Wall Street after the end of this release of year. But that's not just it. September 15th, the 70th, 70th session of UN General Assembly begins. It's been reported that France openly plans to introduce a resolution which will give formal UN Security Council recognition to a Palestinian state. Formal. That could be something. September 17th, the deadline for Congress to vote on President Obama's deal with Iran. Forget that. September 20th to 26th, the World Week for Peace in Palestine, Israel, sponsored by the World Council of Churches. Why are they doing that? September 21st, when the Hajj, the Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca, September 21st, projected to begin. September 21st, the UN International Day of Peace. September 22nd, in Islam, the Day of Arafat. September 23rd, another major Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. September 23rd, this is where it gets interesting. The new Pope Francis arrives at the White House to meet with President Obama, September 23rd. September 23rd, the 266th Pope arrives to meet with the President on the 266th day of the year. Some have said, you know, the normal gestation for carrying a baby is 266 days. So one guy opined, maybe something is being given birth to. But what is the Pope doing here? Because in September 24th, the Pope, I believe it's the first time in history, addresses the joint U.S. Congress. First time in history, I believe, addressed by a Pope. September 24th. Could be wrong, but I don't know. September 25th. In 2014, the French Foreign Minister, Laurent Fabius, proclaimed we only had 500 days to avoid climate chaos. But his time frame ends on September 25th. September 25th to 27th. This is big. We'll come back to it. The United Nations launches a new universal agenda known as Agenda 2030. I'll come back to that. By the way, September 25th, the Pope is a busy guy because he's also going to kick off this conference by being the keynote speaker at the UN General Assembly. Ah, come on, Dave. I don't want distractions. I wonder what people are looking at. Can you put a nice meadow with wildflowers up there or something? September 26th, 27th, he's going to Philadelphia for a 2015 World Meeting of Families. September 28th, the first day of Feast of Tabernacles. September 28th, the last full lunar eclipse in the tetrad, four total lunar eclipses. September 28th, red blood moon, also supermoon. It'll be big and best seen over in Jerusalem. Supermoon, perfect eclipse, red blood moon, September 28th. By the way, in early October, the BRICS nations, B-R-I-C-S, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, in early October, have an economic summit where they plan to set up an alternative monetary standard to the U.S. dollar. And the headquarters of the new banking system is in Shanghai, China. Okay, 2030, this agenda. Why bring up something about the UN? Because official UN website says, the United Nations is now in the process of defining sustainable development goals as part of a new Sustainable Development Agenda 2030 that must finish the job and leave no one behind. This agenda launched at the Sustainable Development Summit in September of 2015, which I just shared about, is currently being discussed at the UN General Assembly, and they're going to have it. Here it is. This agenda is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. It seeks to strengthen universal peace in a larger freedom. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all forms and dimensions is the greatest global challenge and indispensable requirement for sustainable development. One more. All countries and stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want, and to heal and secure our planet. I didn't know it was bleeding. We are determined to take the bold steps which are urgently needed to shift the world onto a sustainable path. And here it is. As we embark on this collective journey, we pledge that no one will be left behind. Ooh. Oh, come on, Dave. Where's the meadow with the nice flowers? Okay. Here's the 17 goals. The 17 goals of Agenda 2030. And this is what the Pope is now coming to address and to help kick off. End poverty in all forms everywhere. End hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition. Promote sustainable agriculture. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. We're going to all be in school our entire lives. Achieve, what's this got to do? Gender equality? And empower all women and girls. Men are not mentioned. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Keyword, water. Ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Promote sustained, inclusive, sustainable economic growth. Build resilient infrastructure. Promote sustainable industrialization. Reduce inequality within and among countries. Make all countries the same. Make cities and human settlements safe and sustainable. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Translated, here's how much you need to live on. Take urgent action to combat climate change. Conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine resources. Protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of ecosystems, forest ecosystems, thanks. Combat desertification, halt and reverse land degradation, halt biodiversity loss. Keyword, control land. Water, land, promote peaceful and inclusive societies, building effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. And here's the bottom on this. Strengthen the means of implementation. In other words, take over. And that's 2030. And those are the main objectives of this 2030 agenda that the Pope's going to come to, and he's going to talk to our president about, and the United Nations is going to just have a wonderful time. One guy said, as you can see, the list goes far beyond saving the environment or fighting climate change. It truly covers about every activity of the human race. Land, water, work. What you eat. Everything's equal. All equal. In every way. So you can't fight. You're not fighting beating poverty, okay, but everything else? That's why September is just such a packed month. There's just so much going on. All in the space of 1 month. And it's not small things either. You know, and God doesn't have to do certain things, but he can. We're coming up to the end of a 7-year cycle of year of release. As a matter of fact, there are even stock market people, economists, who have nothing to do with the Bible, but they look at the stock market in terms of what it's called the 7-year cycle. And they have nothing to do with the Bible. And we're coming to the end of the 7th year release. What to do? Well, again, it's because there's so much going on. And we might feel the effects of it soon. We might feel the effects later. But there are people who are absolutely, people in power and authority, who are absolutely serious about making these things happen. For the good of all of us who don't know any better. You notice there's nothing in all those 17 goals about religion. Nothing. Interesting. So what to do? What to do? Well, if things begin happening as they already are in some places, and I think are going to ramp up, you know, because sooner or later, folks, sooner or later, the overall picture of the Bible is the end will come, but before that happens, there will be a one-world government. And everything will be under the umbrella of a one-world system and a one-world leader. And Bible scholars are pretty consistent with that. So it's going to be like, let's all get together, only they're going to seriously do it. So that's when I look at this, I go, wow, they are really serious about forcing countries to implement these ideals, whether the people want it or not. So what to do? Number one, I would say, make sure you're right with God. You know, God has a phenomenal love for everyone. I mean, he showed that through sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, because we're the ones who sinned, but Jesus paid for those on the cross with his death and resurrection, providing forgiveness. And just for us, turning from our own lifestyles and life to acknowledging our need of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for eternity, and receiving the gift of his salvation, what he's done, receiving him as Lord, receiving him as Savior, with an end to living for him, not just fire insurance, but to living for him, to make sure you're right with God. Number two, from the rabbi who wrote these popular books and brought up the, made kind of to the Christian world the idea of the knowledge more of God's 7-year sets, cycles, and what's happened. Rabbi Kahn, how as he puts it, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, get, and it's biblical language. Paul would say, put off, put on. He would say, get out of your life anything that shouldn't be there, anything that God doesn't want. Just get it out. Get it out. Get into your life anything that you know God wants. Get it in. Paul would say, put it off. Put it on. Number two. Number three. I'd like to see September for us as a church family as a month of prayer. What do I mean by that? A month of prayer. Well, we have prayer meetings on Thursdays. In September, we have the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. That takes care of September. Thursday, 6:30, to pray. If you can be there, do it, or someone from your family. Also, Sundays. We did this before, so it's not anything new. We're going to do it again. for the month of September. We have the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th, 8:30 a.m. within here to have about 40 minutes or so, 35, 40 minutes before Sunday school starts, to just be here and just pray. Sunday morning, 8:30. It's not in your bulletins. If you want to put it in there, put it in there. If you can come to one or the other, come to one or the other. If you can want to come to both, come to both. But September, to just have prayer. Because all these things are under the sovereignty of God. Now, even having said that, according to not just the book of Revelation, but in places in the Old Testament, the prophets, he's going to let a lot of things happen which are going to be earth-shaking in scope in order to fulfill his plans. But they will be earth-shaking. So it's not meadow fields with nice flowers for all the Christians for all this time. He's going to allow that. But he's still sovereign. So why not just have some times that are already there, except for Sundays, 8:30 a.m. here, Sunday, if you can, or somebody from your family, doesn't matter, to just pray, to call out to the God of the universe, who does have all things under his scope, and nothing happens without his will, even if it's what he allows. Nothing. He is sovereign. But we as his people can call out to him. If my people, it would say in the Old Testament, pray for September. So for those who are helping, do we have some men helping us with the communion at this time? Just come up and have a seat. So while we are celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross, amazing love.